these that call for different intro music. Languidity. Never have looked up if it's a word that existed before Sun Ra made it up or not. It sounds enough like a word, or just his own neologism. Well, folks, there was a, as I was turning onto the road to get here, to Kaechung. Kaechung, 1630 AM, kaechungradio.org. There was a giant semi-truck blocking the way, and this guy waving his arms. He's like, don't go down this road, go down this road. And the other road is a freeway. And I was like, well, that's a freeway. I can't, that's not at all going to take me where I want to go. And he's like, no, you're going to get stuck like me. And I get out and I look and I was like, oh yeah. Luckily, the freeway entrance had a quick exit that took me around and I'm here. Not even that late. Not that interesting. Except that it seems symbolic. I'm driving here. The big semi. Just stuck blocking things. Anyway, everyone. As I watched the United States of America elections results come in last night. I was at my neighbor's house. She'd been out of town for about a month. Invited some friends over to hang out. And I didn't really know her friends very well. I had sent hi to them, but it was interesting just kind of hanging out, listening to everyone process everything. Because it was people I had not talked to at all about anything going on. So it was the opinions of new people. Really, mostly it was everyone just kind of, you know, a lot of disbelief, a lot of sadness, a lot of sort of like reaffirming, everyone reaffirming their own values in opposition to stated values of Donald Trump. And, you know, got me thinking about a number of things. The first of which, I have probably said this on air before, but no more appropriate time then, because than now, because this is the basis. The basis of what I want to try to get into today, November 9th, 2016, is what my good friend Faradayani told me when we were undergrads at UC Davis. She currently works in politics up in Sacramento. And I guess what year was it? 2008. Must have been 2008. And I was freaking out about the way things were going in the world. I don't know. Just something was happening, and I was like, what? What's happening? How is everything going to continue? And I was just like in a panic. And she calmed me down. She said, Kern, I study politics. She didn't maybe say that, but that's kind of what, whenever she would speak on such things, I'd be like, man, you know so much more about this than I do. So I always felt comfortable resting in the assurance that someone else who knows more than I has. She was like, the way it's set up, you know, there's a bunch of checks and balances built into our system. No sweeping sudden change is possible under our constitution and the political systems we have set up. There will be no drastic changes. No one individual holds the power to make drastic things happen overnight. A lot of people have to be in accordance for things to happen. And so, you don't have too much to worry about. As in, it's not saying, oh, nothing's going to happen. You know, the downside is that a lot of good things aren't going to happen quickly. But the upside is that the panic I was picking up on from people I was talking to in person and seeing comments online and everything is, you know, all, nothing's wrong with it. But best to remember that it is just a fear. It's imagination of scenarios that are literally impossible. Trump has stated a lot of things. He does not have the power to go and make abortion illegal all of a sudden. He does not have the power to round up and deport immigrants in this country. There are a lot of claims he has made that are extremely frightening. So many things have come out of his mouth that are deeply concerning. And the worst part to me really is the fact that he said all those things and that was what the popular vote took. Not even just some rigged electoral thing, it was literally the popular vote. But if there's one thing he has showed consistently, it is that he doesn't mean what he says. Rather, he puts very little weight behind the words that come out of his mouth. And so to suddenly start taking those words at face value and fearing that he will suddenly enact, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put on, instead of continuing with Sun Ra, I'm going to put on this World War One music, because I don't know, for some reason it just seemed super appropriate to me. Don't ask me why.
It's a long way to go.
It's not really the exact versions I wanted. But I might switch back to Sun Ra. We'll see. I already hate this song. God, I'm sorry. These are just the worst versions. I checked them all out before. Or at least I thought I did. Oh, these modern renditions of these classic tunes that just sound terrible. Oh, here, this is more like it. Pack up your troubles in your old kit bag. Oh, so, that's all I'm saying. Really, it's just that there's a lot of bad things that he said over his campaign. A lot of promises, or not even promises, just a lot of premises that he's run on. And to me, the thing to focus on there, and I'm just going to reiterate again, is, yes, it's fucking frightening that those are the platforms he ran on, and that's what people are excited about. He played on all the fears, the racist, xenophobic, sexist, homophobic fears of a bunch of the population. That is not the population here in Los Angeles, California. Or wherever you may be listening. It is hard to imagine a K-Chung listener who is excited about Trump. I don't know. I was hanging out with a guy the other day. Hadn't seen him since high school. He was a big Bernie guy who told me he was more interested in seeing Trump win than Hillary. My friend last night said she talked to people who had a similar opinion. It didn't matter to him, as a Mexican, the things Trump had said about Mexico. He saw that part of his identity as not the dominant part of his identity, which is a whole other topic I want to get into on another show. Identity, what I used to call identity experience conflation error. But my buddy was saying you should probably take the word error out of that term. Just identity experience conflation. And I mean, I put it in there kind of for fun because I wanted it to be a criticism. But it's a very good point. The statements made, I don't know. I just think, you know, it's easy to imagine all of those things happening and that being the state of our country. It's easy to panic about that. That's more or less what this group I was with was doing all last night. We were all just sitting there imagining all the bleakness of it all. And it's, to me, the bleakness resides, I'm just going to keep finding different words to say the same thing. For me, the bleakness resides in the fact that he was elected more than the fear of really what's to come. Partially because I have a general belief that you can't know what's to come, and to overinvest in your projection of what's to come is to commit an error. I'll just say that. It's just not really... Well, also, just the idea of thinking what's to come is predetermined is... Oh, are you fucking kidding me? Fuck this shit. This is ridiculous. I'm going to go back to Sun Ra. I'm sorry, everyone. It's fucking God. Well, that's what you get for not importing the CD of World War One songs that your grandma gave you years ago, but only the ones that you needed for the moment. And it's not an hour worth of songs that you needed for the moment, but maybe you wished later you had all two discs worth of songs. I'm describing being a pack rat, a hoarder, of maybe this will become useful someday. But when it's music, man, I got a 2 terabyte hard drive. Not even 1/4 of it is full. I can store as much goddamn World War One music written by Irving Berlin as I want. Okay. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. So, I don't know. To me, that's the biggest source of hope, is the fact that what's said in a campaign... So, more often than not, all history... Okay, I'm not going to make a big claim like that, but most of the history I've experienced in my life has shown that what is said in the campaign often does not happen. Or at least some extremely watered-down version. Remember when Obama was running, he was talking about universal health care, and we were all excited that we were going to join the ranks of the rest of the industrialized modern nations, that have universal health care for their citizens, where you don't pay for it and you're not prioritizing the interests of pharmaceutical companies. We all thought that was going to happen. I was so excited. I was so excited for that. Guess what? Didn't happen. We got Obamacare, big watered down version. Why? It's not because Obama didn't want to make that happen. It's just there was a lot of other people involved in whether or not that happens. Another thing. What do you think Trump believes in? I don't think he has any particular investment in a lot of the things he ran on. He became a Republican in 2012, I believe, is when he registered to be a Republican. He's not a guy who is a... He's clearly not a deep Christian, which is who he got most of his... a lot of his votes from. I was talking to people who said they had family members who were single-issue voters. Trump took a hard line, being anti-abortion, anti-women's right to choose. I don't like calling him pro-life. There's no fucking way that he actually is anti-abortion. There's no way he has not paid for abortions. I know, whatever. Let's not focus on my comment there. Obviously, I'm speculating. But I'm just trying to give examples of how the platforms he ran on were purely political posturing to win. I think the only thing he's actually passionate about are business. Money. Making money and being popular. He wants to be liked. He wants to make money. Or... really, by making money, I mean he wants to retain his wealth. So I think his priorities are going to be the things like trade deals and taxes. He's going to... His immediate priorities are going to be to shift the economy. The social issues that people are seem to be primarily scared of, like I think the source of fear, I imagine, comes mostly from the statements he's made about social issues. And... yeah, that's scary shit. But I highly doubt that's... I don't think he's at all passionate about that. Has any calling. That's more like if Ted Cruz was elected. That would be your big fear, is that shit's going to happen fast. Mostly what's going to happen is the rich are going to get richer. And poor are going to get poorer. I think that's the main thing. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but just saying I think that's the most immediate frightening aspect. As a non-property owner, I am not particularly affected by his policies. I don't really stand to gain. I only stand to gain if I start befriending a bunch of property owners who now are going to pay far fewer taxes on their property. Something like that. So, hey, holler at me if you stand to benefit from Trump tax cuts. And then, of course, there was the moment where my pal was like, she was getting real, feeling real bleak. She's like, and she was a big Bernie supporter. She's like, it feels like it's Bernie's fault for running. There are all so many people who said they weren't going to vote for Hillary. Blah, blah. And I was like, no. You cannot say that. Well, one, it's equally easy to say it's Hillary's fault for running. So to say it's Bernie, you know, to say it's someone's fault for trying to run is, you know, to really jump. It's a desperate statement. Hillary's fault for rigging the primaries. Bernie was winning the popular vote, was more popular than Trump, and was booted from that position by the establishment party, because they just thought that Hillary was going to win. They thought if all the delegates, they're like, let's go for Hillary, she's going to win, we'll maintain our power. It's all these greedy-ass people wanting to fucking maintain their power. And I'm going to go ahead and say the most, to me, inspiring thing about this, because, and keep in mind, inspiring is, I'm really just describing power, and any power can cut both ways, can be used for good, can be used for evil. The power revealed here was that we actually do live in a democracy, apparently. You know, there was actually people voted, and it made a difference. All the polls, all everything, didn't predict it. There's a thing called the shy Tory effect. Like in England, the Tory party, the Conservative Party, underreports. And so a similar thing happened in the 90s in England. Where all the polls said the Conservative Party was going to lose, and then they ended up winning. I mean, I know in the 2000s, the elections seemed very suspicious, like suspiciously rigged, and you were like, what is this democracy anyway? And then here it's like, apparently there's a democracy. Apparently the popular vote won. The powers that be did not see this coming. Unless it's you could go deeper in and say it's all an elaborate thing, but what was it? The Trump party was in a hotel room watching, and the Hillary group had like rented out a huge place in preparation for their victory celebration. The powers that be did not see this coming. The tight control that the elites have is perhaps not quite so tight. Or rather, there are competing elites. Who are these competing elites that support Trump? Business. And it was the will of the people. People, the fact that they just wanted something different outweighed wanting the safe, more of the same person. And guess what? Safe, more of the same. Let's just get into that. That's obviously for only a certain group of people. While Trump has stated a million negative things about a million groups of people that Hillary has not stated, because she's part of her platform and the Democratic Party is to be for this, she still is not the supporter of the people that it would be nice to believe. So more of the same, you know, sure, if you're a comfortable liberal who likes feeling good about yourself, you're pissed. If you are not a comfortable liberal, then you didn't really have that much to look forward to with Hillary Clinton. The comfort you experience in your life really already really dictates your enthusiasm for a continuation of that neoliberal regime. We could semi-comically call the last couple decades. You know, this hasn't been the world we've always lived in. You know, post-Cold War America. That's what I grew up in. I was born in 87. And that's the world I grew up in. Is, this is how things work, blah, blah, blah. Things haven't changed. They won't change. We'll keep moving forward with this progress. And a lot of people see this as, it's not progress, it's going back. What is progress? We can think we're making progress. We can pat ourselves on the back. There are a lot of human rights things that I'm, by saying this, I'm really just raising things to think about, not necessarily my personal opinion. And yes, I'm aware of the dangers, or not the dangers, but, you know, setting up false things to think about. Like, why spend energy arguing against a sort of a moot point? And so, I mean, to think that it's a third party's fault, I mean, that happens every time. I saw one station reporting on swing state results that were close, and they kept showing Gary Johnson's percentage. He got 2-3% in a bunch of swing states. But what is the implication that who would Gary Johnson voters have voted for? Would they vote for Trump? I don't know. I don't know shit about Gary Johnson, to be honest. But that was interesting. Man, actually, I gotta say what was interesting was watching the news last night before I went to bed. Just the local news. I have a TV antenna. Would go back and forth between CBS and NBC. The newscasters, when it was first announced, this reporter came on, they showed a reporter, and she said, oh, Trump just called, or Hillary just called the Trump to concede. So he is now President-elect Donald Trump. And then the main narrator, who you didn't see him, just kept talking about things without acknowledging that. He just kept talking. He, like, just straight up, it was, to me, very apparent that no one on the news was excited about this. Everyone was shocked, not really sure what to say, trying to be sort of neutral. I did hear one newscaster, to me this was the most interesting thing, just state like, oh, I guess it shows that people were more interested in seeing something different than maintaining the way things are. Which brings me to the first hopeful perspective I heard on this. While hanging out with these acquaintances last night, one of my friend's friends, what was she saying? She was talking about, she was like, well, you know, when things are bad, you know, the arts tend to be good. And she's a performer of some sort herself, and she said, she's like, you know, maybe that's selfish, but at least there's that. And she's saying this as a, well, she kept referring to the gays with the comfort that made me assume she was gay. And that, like, it would be weird if she wasn't and kept saying the gays. And saying that as that. So, anybody, I don't know, the annoying jump of, like, anybody who's like, oh, if you're not completely dejected by this, that must be because you're a white male. You know, it's like, okay, well, sure, you can say that if you want, but that's just to ignore so many other things. It's not a particularly deep perspective. I mean, unless you're just really excited about pointing that out. So this is not my perspective, I guess is what I'm saying. She made the most compelling case to me for, well, struggle. This means shit's going to be happening. There's going to be a lot to unify around. And hopefully, or rather, hopefully there will be a lot to unify around. Hopefully this does get people going and gets a lot moving and gets interesting things happening because people see the urgency for... what's the word? Just like maintaining a stronghold, like showing that no, we're not just going to go with this change. Like just because this elected official is in this position does not mean that the values we hold to be important are gone and no longer relevant to our world. And so it's hopefully a call to action of sorts for everyone who's not happy about this. Everyone who's fucking sad and pissed. Hopefully it's a wake-up call that you gotta take action. Gotta do things in order to make things happen. I remember learning about Spain in about like the mid-80s. They exited the long, long-standing totalitarian regime of Franco. And what film? Some artist was saying, like, we were best united against Franco. It was sort of like, yeah, after we got the freedom we so desired, we were, I don't know. It was like his reflection on the period. His reflection on the period we are... I mean, I'm just going to say it. The reflection on the period we are entering was that, yeah, they were... The artists were best under it. Now, let's also comment on the thing I want to say, which I've kept alluding to, is that... Yes, there are all these characteristics. The way Trump has spoken is like a dictator in a bunch of ways. In a bunch of ways. Not completely. But that doesn't actually grant him dictatorial power. He does not have that power. Most of the things he says he wants to do, he literally cannot do. I'm not saying this as an expert. I'm saying this as a non-expert. That's Parhesia Hour. I am a non-expert. Oh, jeez Louise. Spilled a little coffee, but everything's okay. Just a tiny bit. It's contained and it's mostly contained. Haven't had any coffee because I woke up early this morning. So, I don't know. That's the most hopeful thing. And actually, I believe... former co-host Stephen Lee Clark posted something about from his current platform, Talkful Radio, about, you know, art. You know, there's still that. And if you believe in it at all, which if you're involved in K-Chung or listening to K-Chung, you must be a person who does. And yes, there's the tendency, especially for those politicized, to be like, fuck art. How can you think about that in this time? And blah, blah, blah. And like, I don't know. I mean... You can think that, but, like, if that's how you think now, then why don't you think that all the time, you know? If you make commitments, you make commitments. What do I mean by that? By that, I mean just to say that, like, because you're emotionally affected by this thing in this moment to, like, renounce an entire thing that you have, like, otherwise been in favor of seems clearly sort of rash. Or if it leads to you actually changing things. What was the story last night? I heard someone quit something and just went into politics full time. Because they were like, man, I need to make this kind of change. And I was reading this, I recently finished The Spiritual Journey of Alejandro Jodorowsky. And did I talk about this last week? About the selling, trying to get the farmers in Mexico who are being taken advantage of by corrupt officials who are, like, forcing them to grow corn and buying it from them at low prices, keeping them impoverished. And then the Buddhist monk came in and was like, hey guys, look, here's these soybeans I brought from Japan. They can grow all year long. They'll give you tons of food. You don't need to, like, sell it to these guys for low prices. You can just grow your own food and prosper. And then the guys came in, took it, like, burned it, and threatened to kill anyone caught growing not corn. And they used this premise of it being, you know, the tradition of Mexico to grow corn. But the tradition is not to grow corn and sell it to someone else to a market for a low value. It's to eat it. And then the monk goes away from this saying, like, Mexico does not need Zen Buddhism for intellectuals. It needs this. I need to help these people who are, like, actually being abused and taken advantage of. I don't know. Maybe that's your idea. That's sort of my idea on art lately. I always see it as this, like, practice of the mind. This thing that it can affect minds. I have a faith in culture. I don't really see myself participating in politics directly. Too much gain. Personally, whatever directly means. Like, I'm not gonna run for office. I did vote. I did. That was my participation. It's not much to vote once a year, or once every 4 years, or whenever elections happen, not just presidential ones. You know, there's a lot of ways to participate in politics. There's rallying, marching, occupying, tons of things, raising money, working in politics. I don't really see that as my thing, but I do know for a fact that politics run on the will of the people, and the will of the people is culture. And if you are interacting with culture, you're interacting with politics. And art interacts with culture, and therefore interacts with politics. Yes, it's indirect. It's, you gotta do a little woo-woo pseudoscience to, perhaps make certain justifications, but you don't have to, you just can, you have the option to. It's just hard to make hard cases, you know. I mean, science in itself, you know, physics has repeatable, testable values. A lot of sciences don't. If you're talking about health and medicine, there's a lot of factors that we can't test over and over again, you know, and get repeatable results in the way you can with just a basic physics experiment. There's much yet to be discovered, such as the human spirit. Placebo effect, man. Man, I'm just drinking water. So I've, like, been thinking about art that somehow specifically works. To be honest, I'm just really thinking about Thomas Hirshhorn a lot. I'm pretty inspired. I mean, I was, like, really inspired a few years ago initially, but just, you know, I was glad to see that there was, like, some more stuff going on. Can't say I was as inspired by this work that I saw recently, but it just got me interested in looking into his work overall. And, organizing, guys. That's all I'm thinking about. Organizing. Organizing is important. You don't make change. You don't change powers. You make amendments and adjustments by appealing to the powers that be. You make change by becoming a power. And to become a power, you gotta organize. You gotta get shit together. And, I don't know, I keep wanting to say provide services. I gotta email that guy and ask him what he actually said to me that night. When he was describing what he wished Black Lives, the direction he wished Black Lives Matter was taking, instead of just appealing to the powers that be. Oh God, I love this song. Last night was, you know, bemoaning about everything that's going to happen. You know, and I was noticing, yeah, nothing is yet written. You know, what's going to happen is still up in the air. Like, sure, I'm not saying, maybe you feel like a powerless individual. You can't do anything about what's going to happen, but that's not true. You can. And in fact, it's in your best interest to affect it. Maybe it's what everyone needs. Ugh, wait, what did I just say? What did that sound like to you? Did what I just said sound like maybe Trump is what everyone needs? Because that's not what I was saying. What I was saying was what everyone needs is to realize that they do have the power to affect these things that are happening, such as electing a privileged domineering sociopath into office. That's everyone. That's every fucking politician. I don't know. That's not true. But just it's pretty ridiculous. It's just he's a really unfortunate figure to have gotten in. You know, it's like the triumph of stupidity. Sort of everything. Okay, like I grew up with one of my best friends, sort of using a lot of like political tactics against me in social situations. Like, if he disagreed with me, he'd, like, say we'd be at a party and we'd be, like, talking about something and we disagreed. He'd, like, just look to the nearest person next to him and be like, hey, do you think this or do you think this? Like, do you agree with me or do you agree with him? And, like, threaten the person into agreeing with him. And then they'd agree and be like, see, more people agree with me. And I'd be like, dude, just because you coerced one person into agreeing with you doesn't make your point more right. Like, if you think that by doing that, if you feel good about that, something's going on with you. I mean, I would tell this to him and we'd laugh. Or whatever. Because he was usually just kind of like demonstrating. He was kind of more just excited that, like, look at this psychological phenomenon. Look how easily manipulated people are. I just got a person to agree with me. And then I told them. It was like the comedy of how easy it is to turn people against me. I just had people turning people against me all the time. Or my friends. I guess I seemed like a person who could take it. / wouldn't deal it back. Like a seal's coat. Anyway. Actually, no, I don't want to get into that. But, what I'm saying is he's just like that kind of guy. He's like the kind of guy where you're like, damn, that's really how you wield power? Oh, wait, oh my god. Well, I shouldn't get too excited, but all I want to say,
there are other worlds they have not told you of. I wish to speak to you. There are other worlds they have not told you.
First noticing.
I wish to speak to you.
This music once, like this whispering at the end, and I don't remember. I feel like I was like playing it in college or something, and I had a friend over, and I used to put this on like before going to bed, and my friend was like, "This is very creepy, Kern. Can you please turn it off?" And I was like, "But I think they're like benevolent other worlds. Like Senua is all about hope. He loves other worlds. Like somebody else's idea of somebody else's world is not my idea of the world to come. Somebody else's idea of world to come need not be my idea." Something like that. Anyway, I'm getting distracted. Did any of you watch Trump's concession speech last night? Did you watch it? Gotta say, to me, I was immediately encouraged. Why? Don't start getting outraged, because I'm saying something positive here about Trump. You know, that's not helping anything to just be close your eyes and already have made up your mind based on fear of what is to come is not a particularly enlightened perspective. To allow yourself to succumb to the fear that all the people who voted for him succumb to. I know it's not a word. Have fun with me here. Come on, guys. His speech immediately, he came out and said, obviously I'm not going to quote it verbatim, that's not my style, I don't do that, I don't write things down and prepare, that's not true, I kind of do sometimes, but he immediately came out saying, I want to work, he's like, hey, glad we did it, I want to work for a better America for all races, creeds, and class, I want to work to make us the best, and I'm going to do what the people want. And he really, to me, what I picked up on was that he immediately stated that I want to do whatever's popular. I want to do what everybody wants. He did what he needed to do to get elected. Now what he will continue to do in office is an entirely different thing. To get out the vote is a different process than to enact policy. I have reason to believe he does not believe in half the things he ran on, platforms he ran on. And he will not make drastic moves that massively upset enormous portions of the population. Yes, I know he's upset enormous portions of the population already in his running, but that's just in statements. That's not in action and policy. And, I don't know. Honestly, the speech was pretty encouraging, just simply for the fact that it was an immediate change of tone. Like, hey, I got elected, and really all I care about is retaining my wealth and being popular. And so that's going to be it. I'm not saying there's not bad things that come, tax cuts, there's cuts to education, there's gonna be bad stuff. I'm not, that the whole point of this hour is reaching for, how to, like, not have a panic attack. That's what I'm looking at. How do I not have a panic attack? How do I not sink into a puddle of my own tears? What hope is there for me to latch on to? And this is what I'm exploring. To me, it's the idea of his susceptibility to just what's going to be, you know, popular, what's going to make him likable. I like how a lot of people are posting that fake quote about Trump saying if he were to run for office, he'd run as a Republican because Fox News makes it easy to manipulate. And it's funny because Fox News, like, wasn't what it was at all when the quote apparently was made, and it's fake, and everybody knows it's fake. And I would see every time someone posted, someone be like, oh, he sucks, but it's not real. And they'd say, I don't care, it's so close to the truth. Which is more or less what people... That's the same thing people think when they're like, I don't care what the truth about Trump is. This is what I want to believe. He's saying this. He just makes a bunch of claims. All the rest of his concession speech is just a million claims. We're going to make America second to none. It's like just a bunch of claims that you can't disagree with. You're like, oh, great. Yeah, why would I not want to be great? Blah, blah, blah. And that's what people want. They just want to hear that. That someone has the desire to do that versus, I suppose, the apologetic instinct of liberals. Oh yeah, Sun Ra, take me to it. I really gotta put this on my, there's this song, Planet Earth. Ooh, I wonder if there's a live version of it. Oh, I typed love instead of live. How many times have you all done that? Y'all, we go. Oh yeah, we got people. This song is the most beautiful way of thinking about planet Earth. Here we are. Stock markets are crashing. Crashing may be the wrong word. Things aren't doing well. People are afraid. So here we are to just, what's that thing? It's easier to give advice than to receive or enact it. I feel like receive. I don't know. Maybe it's easy to receive advice and let it go in one ear, out the other. I love grilled mushrooms. Yeah, that's all. By fearing potential disaster, not much is going to be accomplished. If you're seeing something in process of happening, and then you step up to stop it from happening, that's another story. But that's all. I'm just myself and going to do my best to, not panic too much. I'm not chastising anyone for expressing emotions. Not my goal here on Parhesia Hour. I don't know. My impulse when people are expressing concern all around me is to try to comfort and try to think of reasons that things may not be so bad. That's just my, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. It's not an attempt to invalidate feelings. There is no goal of telling you you are wrong for thinking what you think. Purely throwing some ideas out there. Throwing some things to consider into the cauldron. So goddamn gorgeous. Man, where do we go from here? By that I mean, like, the this show. It's such an inward-turning show. So it's all about inward looking. It's all about inner dilemmas. Now all of a sudden, in this country, we are faced with very real external dilemmas. Dilemma. Yeah, guys. Well, I was talking about organizing earlier. All I gotta say is I'm happy to be part of an organization here. Is this gonna auto-tune play next? Hell yeah, sound of joy. Are we gonna... Do, 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 do. Okay. What was I talking about? I got distracted by something. But it was like a dream, where as soon as I tried to think about it, it went away. It was something. Something about records. Making a decision. That's all. I just don't want to see people paralyzed by their own imaginations, by the power of their imagination. I hope people are inspired by the power of their imagination to imagine solutions, to imagine the way there is more out there than the office of the president, and not to mention all the House and Senate seats. Hey, Prop 64 passed. Cool. So did that one bad plastic bag thing didn't. I don't know. I didn't hear the death penalty one. But in California, things weren't looking so bad. So let's be grateful for living in California here, if you're living in California. I'm grateful that I was born here in Southern California. Always felt so goddamn grateful for being born here. Yeah, I hope that this organization here, K-Chung Radio, really, sees the value it has by being an organization of, I don't want to say like-minded folks, because I feel like that's not the point so much, but, similarly inspired folks, who at least are like-minded in the sense of having a, like, they show up here. You don't have to be here. I could spend all of my money, just getting drunk and watching TV if I wanted. Or I could come here. You know what I mean? just saying. I think that is a reality, an unfortunate reality for a lot of people. And that's all. So thanks for listening. I hope your day is okay. I hope you see that nothing drastic is going to happen overnight, and there's hope yet in this country. It's not over. We got a whole lifetime of struggle. So many far worse leaders have been elected, or not even elected, just have taken power in countries. So a president can't do that much. It's not a good thing, but it's not the doomsday that we need to think it is. I'm gonna take us out on the beginning of Languidity again, because I just think it's such an appropriate feeling sound. So, thanks for listening.